Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
So we continue this morning in our Faithful Family sermon series, and this week we're going to consider how our technology consumption inhibits our family's faithfulness. I recently saw this meme on my social media news feed. And rather than making me laugh, like I think it was intended to do, I really actually felt a knot develop in my stomach. As I thought to myself, is this what my family is becoming? Is this what we look like in my house? And so this week we're going to ask, how do cell phones and video games and the leash that is work email stop us from living and loving like Jesus? How did they get in the way, and then what can we do about it? And so as we prepare to hear a message from our God this morning, from our scriptures, I invite you to pray with me. Almighty and loving God, we give thanks this morning for your word. God, we pray that it might show us where we struggle, reveal to us your grace, and how, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can overcome those very same struggles. God, I pray that our hearts and minds might be open to hear the message that you've crafted for each of us. I pray that these words would be your words. This message, a demonstration of your Spirit's power and nothing of my own. In the name of Christ, amen. So our scripture this morning comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, you want to get those out and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be starting in verse 17 and reading through verse 24. The words will also be on the screen behind me. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must live no longer as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned in Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So obviously, in the days of the newly birthed church at Ephesus, there was not technology in the way of people's faith. But that doesn't mean that we can't let their struggles inform our own struggles. And so when I read this passage in Ephesians, I hear the Holy Spirit really giving us two timeless lessons, two lessons that applied to the people in Ephesus 2,000 years ago that still apply to us today. The first is, don't look like the world around you. As Christ followers, we're set apart to look different than the culture that we are in and among. And the second is to practice self-control. And as I thought about those two lessons, I was reminded of a proverb that I read recently that made me laugh out loud. If the meme didn't, this certainly did. You're free if you find it humorous as well. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, or else, having too much, you will vomit it. I chuckled until I really thought about it and realized how much of a struggle self-control must be for human beings that is in our Bibles. If you find honey, eat just enough, not too much. So it's hard to have self-control, and for me, it's hard to have self-control when it comes to technology. I struggle with it every day. And in fact, I told Chris not too long ago that I feel like since I graduated last year from my master's program, I've actually become less intelligent because I read less. I have a hard time sticking it out with real books. The allure of the quick fix of an online article or a scroll through my social media news feed or a compilation of memes that I might find funny is just too hard to resist. It draws me in and away from substantial reading material. It's just so easy to pick up my phone or my tablet and get that quick fix instead of challenge my brain and my conscience with real books and real material. Anyone else here know that temptation? Am I alone? Am I the only one looking for that quick fix? If technology is interfering with my reading habits, then I have to ask myself, how many times a day am I missing the opportunity to connect with my God or to connect with a neighbor because my face is buried in my technology? How many times a day am I looking more like the world around me instead of like a set-apart Christ follower who's meant to show the world who Jesus is? All right, so many of you know that I just spent the last week as a counselor at Bridgeport Children's Camp. This is a camp for students who have completed grades 3 through 5. So I'm basically with kids going into 4th, 5th, and 6th grade for the whole week. It was fabulous and exhausting. It's everything you can imagine it is. It was wonderful. I highly recommend if you have students who are going to be 4th all the way up through senior high next summer that they go to Bridgeport. It's a really amazing experience. And if you are an adult with a student that age, I recommend that you go with them, if at all possible, because I had the wonderful opportunity to see God through the eyes of children, which is not something that we get to do on a daily basis. So it was a really good week. But here was one of the rules for the week, was that the kids were not allowed to have any technology. None at all. There's a little bit of different rules for the older groups. So if you're in senior high and you're like, what? I'm not going. It's a little bit different than with the little kids. But the little kids are not allowed to have any electronics. So I decided early on in the week that I was going to try to be in it with them. Because the adults, we can have our phones and our tablets and whatever we needed. And so I limited my use of my phone to just send pictures to the mamas of the kids that we had there. So they were getting to see what was going on during the week. And then to check my work email, very, very limited, but just enough to catch any real-time sensitive things. And then, if I'm honest, to maybe scroll a little bit right before bed. So I was committed to this, and then by Thursday night, I found my self-control, my commitment, really seriously challenged. You see, on Thursday night, they have pool party with loud music. It's exactly what I said, pool party with loud music. And I had been taking pictures and videos of my son and the other kids who were there from our church, and I had managed to score a lounge chair that was perfectly positioned for me to lay there and watch Ethan jump into the pool and come down the slide. And I got to tell you, as I lay there with my phone turned downward on my stomach and watched him, I felt the pull. It had been 4 days. I was tired. I wanted to check out. I just wanted to scroll for just a few minutes. But I stayed firm. I told myself no. And I want to tell you what I saw. I saw my son looking back again and again to see if I was still watching. And as I realized that he was looking back again and again, I felt a sense of shame well up as I wondered, how many times in his life has he looked back to find my face buried in a phone? I struggle with self-control like anyone else, but I won't soon forget the look on his face, the look of relief that I was still watching. The conviction I felt that night is still raw and fresh and painful this morning. And to be truthful, I hope it stays that way so that I can stay different. So what does all that have to do with living and loving like Jesus? Well, in verse 22, Ephesians says this. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. You see, if we do not practice self-control with our technology, then we risk being consumed by it. We risk lusting for it. And then we cannot be consumed by love of God and love of neighbor. We, as counterintuitive as it sounds, have to disconnect to connect. We have to disconnect to connect. We have to disconnect from it all to put away technology at some point and say, I am not yours, but God's. And then connect to the love of God and one another. And then we make room for the Holy Spirit to move in us and to move in others. And it requires self-control to do it. I think that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us in Ephesians this morning. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is very much like my son, Ethan, at the pool that night. God doing her very best to get and to keep our attention. Moving and doing magnificent things. Moving and doing smaller but just as powerful things. And then looking back to see if we are watching. What will God see when God looks to see if we are watching? I said the Holy Spirit gives us two timeless lessons. Self-control is one, but also that we might not look like the world around us as Christ followers. And so when I considered what that means in relation to technology usage for us, I thought this image said more than words ever could. Faithful families in today's world know how to be present. If we're going to live and love like Jesus in our world, we have to be present, something that I'm pretty sure we're not very good at as a broad culture these days. And I think this photo is all I need to back up that claim. If we're going to live and love like Jesus, we have to lift our eyes and see the people around us. We have to be together. We have to be in the moment. Studies are showing again and again that the rapid increase in suicide and depression in our culture are linked to the isolation people feel in this age of social media and technology. In a time when we're more connected electronically than ever, we're more disconnected socially. We are rarely truly with one another. We are rarely truly present in the moment. At home, everyone has their individual device they tune into. In line at the grocery store where the elderly woman used to get some much-needed conversation, she is now met with averted eyes as the people around her do not even see her. Yet our scriptures tell us again and again, our responsibility as Christ followers is to care for the widow. How many of us fail to invite a lonely coworker to lunch, where much needed companionship might help someone struggling with depression to fight another day? How many stay-at-home moms desperate for adult interaction are being ignored on the sidelines of the kids' soccer practice? Because we don't know how to be with each other. Because as God's people, as Christ followers who claim a faith built on community and connection, we have allowed our lust for technology to consume us so that we look like the world instead of a people set apart by our God to point people to who Jesus is, to live and to love as he did. And if we struggle to have relationship with the flesh and blood people in our homes and that cross our paths in our everyday lives, then my friends, how hard must we struggle to have a relationship with our God? Pastor Courtney, if I start chatting up strangers in the grocery line, or telling my kids that they have to stop looking at their technology, or telling my boss that I can't answer work emails in the evenings or on the weekends, people are going to think I'm crazy. Maybe they'll even think I'm creepy. Two lessons: self-control, and don't look like the world around us. It wasn't socially normal for the people in Ephesus and the early church to go around helping lepers and widows. It wasn't normal for them to pool their money to take care of the poor, or to claim that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, or to love the people that they considered their enemies. It wasn't normal. But our calling is not to look normal. It's not to look like the culture around us, but to point the people in that culture to a new life, to put away our old self, and to put on our new life, a life centered in love of God and love of neighbor. Being present is how we start being God's people in today's world. And when we practice self-control with our technology and intentionally find moments to be present, I can only imagine the vast possibilities of what the Holy Spirit could do in and through us. Can you imagine with me for a moment a connected community of faithful people, present with those around them, present with the Holy Spirit within them? Friends, that community could change the world. How great is our God? God's grace empowers us to be different, and we can find strength in the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. God can and will do powerful things in and through us when we offer ourselves to our God. God loves us so much and so desired connection with us that God put on human flesh in Jesus, walked among us, stayed with us even when we rejected him unto death, resurrected and returned to us, forgives us again and again, gave us the Holy Spirit to be with us now and forever, and promises as Jesus to return to us. God loves us so much and so desires connection with us that God did and does all of that. So you see, friends, technology in and of itself is not bad. Neither is honey. It's our tendency to overconsume, to lust, to indulge, that we have to be mindful of. It's our lust for the screen that will draw us away from our relationship with God and our relationships with one another and our neighbors. But we don't have to give in to that, and we also don't have to give up technology completely. The proverb didn't say, don't eat any of the honey when you find it. It said, eat just enough. We can use technology for all its good. We can work with it. Let it help further our vision and our mission. But finding times to disconnect so we can connect is important too. For I do truly believe that God is looking back to see if we are watching. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.